Welcome to the Center for Christian Leadership broadcast. Together we'll explore the crossroads of leadership and Christian living. I'm Dr. Stephen Smith, your host and fellow journeyer on this path that we're on to pursue a purposeful life. In each episode, we'll embark on a transformational journey that discusses the timeless principles of leadership that are grounded and firmly established in the wisdom of God's Word. So whether you're a seasoned leader seeking inspiration or someone navigating the challenges of everyday life, this broadcast will act as a compass for navigating the intricate dance between leadership excellence and a life that models the greatest leader, Jesus Christ. Join me and our guests as we unpack profound insights, share inspiring stories, and embark on a quest to lead with purpose in every aspect of our lives. This is more than a broadcast, it's a community committed to elevating Christian leadership while embracing the transformational power of the principles God has established. So let's dive in together and discover the extraordinary potential that emerges when Christian leadership and Christian living converge. Hi, my name is Stephen Smith, and I believe that I have a word from God for you today, and that word is strategic. That's right. What we're going to do is we're going to take 7 days. We're going to go over a strategic planning process that helps us to take a look at our lives and how we can take what we want to accomplish and start applying those things to our own lives, and we can start seeing the progress that God has always intended for us. So what this is going to be is 7 different videos all on how we can establish these new strategic plans in our own lives. We're going to start out with identifying and establishing our greatest why. We'll identify and eliminate negative thoughts. We'll develop a plan to take us there. We're going to do what no one else is doing. We're going to organize our positive daily habits. We won't settle for average, but we'll always do more. And then we're going to sow what we have reaped. It's a little bit different there, but what I want to do is I want to take these 7 steps, and I want to take the time to go over each and every one of them so that we can see the difference in our lives as we move forward. So based on Proverbs 16:3, we can read this. It tells us, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. So what we ultimately want to do is we want to identify what our plan is and how we're going to get from here to there. So let's take a look at a couple of scripture verses and see what the Bible says about this. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look first at Nehemiah 1:3, and it says, they said to me, things are not going well. For those who return to the province of Judah, they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. So Nehemiah is the cupbearer for the king, and he gets this report, and what he wants to do is he wants to start getting back to Jerusalem, rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the gates so that Jerusalem can be protected once again. So what he needed to do was he needed to know where he was and where he wanted to go. He wanted to check his passions and what resources he needed, and he also needed to know what exactly he needed to do. So we see that there's a form of a strategic plan here, and he's got to get from point A to point B, and he wants to go through, of course, the king of Persia so that he can get there and get these tasks done. So what we want to do then is we want to write down on a piece of paper where you are now, and then you want to write down where you're going to be going. And then you want to draw a line between the two. And that line, you're going to have a couple of different hatch marks. And as you go through, what you'll do is you'll identify different things that will happen between now and when you get there. This is the beginning of our planning process, and it'll help us to do it much clearer in a process that not only we can understand, but also so that we can share this vision with our team or with others that are with us. So we see the reaction of Nehemiah in Nehemiah 1:4. It says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days, I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. So what we can see here is that through the actions of Nehemiah, that he followed his 7-step process when he heard the conditions of Jerusalem. He sought God and he pursued what he thought was God's idea. So what we want to do then is we want to follow the same process. I have a plan. I've got a desire in my heart. I've got the gifts. I've got the tools. I've got all the resources available. I want to check with God. I want to make sure that God is on my side on this and that this is exactly something that he wants me to do. So I'm going to go to him in prayer. I'll fast if I need to so that I can hear him more clearly. But the bottom line here is that it's got to be a God idea. Otherwise, this is not going to work. So what ideas has God brought before you that is stirred in your heart? What is it that stirred your passions? Is it trying to help the poor? Is it trying to help others who might need the help? How is it that you can take this idea, this concept that God has put into your heart and start working towards getting something accomplished for the kingdom? So what we want to do then is we want to make sure that we have the wisdom to be able to do this. I need to make sure that I understand what's important, not only to me, but to God. And I also want to make sure that I can make wise decisions. Now we know that we have the mind of Christ, but what we want to do is we want to start asking God
I need wisdom here. I want to make sure that I'm doing this with knowledge, with understanding, that I'm approaching the right people about all these things. And in fact, James 1, 5 and 6 tells us this. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave at the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. James gives us some great advice here, and what we want to do is if we believe that this idea is from God, then he's going to give us the wisdom to be able to accomplish these things. Now, we won't be able to figure these things all out step by step by step, but if I start approaching God in this and I start asking him, first of all, to determine if it is from him, and then second, we want to make sure that if he wants us to pursue it and that this is the right time for that. And then the third thing is that does he want you to do it, or does he want you to get somebody else to do it? So usually you put that on the heart of someone else that's doing it, and you're just going to give them a prophecy, right? So remember, the mail is almost always for you. So our question here has got to be, have you asked God for wisdom in this situation? What was the result? So if you've already asked him for the situation that you're in, or maybe it happened in the past, and you can look back and say, you know what, God answered me then, he's going to answer me now. We can always go back and you can always check in with God. You know, he really wants to be a part of everything that we're doing. And if we happen to ask him for wisdom, if we happen to ask him for advice, if we happen to ask him for resources or the gifts or his ability to be able to help us to step in and start doing that, then that's what we want to do. You know, we see James 4:2, and a lot of people will say, you know, you don't have anything because you haven't asked God for it. But that's not the entirety of this verse. We want to make sure that we don't just quote the last part of this verse, but we take a look at the entire thing. Our first step has got to be prayer. And we have to ask ourselves, have we asked God for this? If not, we might want to stop and ask him right now. So the entirety of this verse says you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. So we can see that a lot of times our desires get in the way of what God's desires are. And if we check in with him and if we make sure that this is something that he wants, we know that we can take a step forward in fulfilling the will of God by doing this and by asking him, God, do you want me to do this? Father, how are we supposed to go forward with this? So we want to ask ourselves, what are our true motives? Why do we want to do something? If I can answer those questions, if I know what those motives are, now I can start saying, wait a second, I know that I need to do these things, and I know that I can come to God and I can ask him for it. The moment that I do that, now I know that I'm on the right path. So we also see in James 4:3 that he tells us, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what gives you pleasure. Are we doing this for our own benefit, or are we doing this for the benefit of God? Are we doing this for the benefit of the kingdom? Are we doing this for our own benefit so that we can get the glory? We have to ask ourselves why we want to do something. We can determine our own motives, but only if we are honest with ourselves. We have to be honest enough to be able to ask ourselves, why do I want to accomplish this? And in fact, we'll talk about the seven whys and why we want to start doing that. So ultimately, the first question that we want to ask ourselves is, who gets ultimate glory for this? Who wants this to come to pass? Is it you? Is it God? Is it both of you? Are you working together on this? Or is it just a you effort on this? So we see that Nehemiah in Nehemiah 1:11 says, O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayer of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. So we can ask God for divine connections, but I'll tell you that there was one time when I was saying, Lord, I just need a divine connection so that I can move on to the next level. You know what God told me? He said, I'm your divine connection. So what we want to do that is we want to start looking for what God has in store for us. And if he's going to put somebody in our path, then we want to allow him to do that. Now, Nehemiah prayed that he would have favor with the king. There's no reason in the world why you can't pray to have favor with the people that you're working with or the people that you're presenting your ideas to. He was bold enough to at least operate enough to be specific with God with what he wanted to do. So in his specificity, we know that he can also come in and say, God, these are the things that I want to do. If we just throw a random prayer out there or say, you know, God, help me today, give me favor, but we're not specific with what we want to do, then we've got to make sure that we go back and we start looking at the details of this and making sure that every detail is presented before God. So how specific are you with God about what it is that you want in your life? So Nehemiah addresses the king. The king says, hey, what's wrong? What's going on here? How can I help you? And Nehemiah says, I replied, if it pleased the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. So what happens is that Nehemiah goes to the king and he says, okay, king, this is what I want to do. I want to go back and I want to go to Judah and I want to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. I want to rebuild the walls. I want to rebuild the gates. I want to make sure that this is looking good. Nehemiah made the initial move. Why would he do that? He wanted to go on with the process, but he also wanted to make sure that the opportunity presented itself. And then what he did was he took massive action. He had a plan in mind and he knew that the king was going to ask him further questions. Have you thought through the plan or the process that you're going through? What's your next massive action step? Have you taken that first massive action step? So what we want to do then is we want to make sure that our plan makes sense to us. We want to make sure that we run that past God. And we also want to make sure that we can actually describe it when people ask us what it is that they can help us with. So it's important for us to understand that God wants to be a part of all of these things that we're doing. And in Psalms 143:10, we can read this. It tells us, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. If we know that God's spirit is leading us forward on firm footing, and if we're following along with the footsteps that God has set before us, we'll talk more about this a little bit later, but I want you to see this clearly, that I need to make sure that God will teach me to do what it is that he called me to do. We know that God will call us to do specific things. We want to make sure that, of course, we've heard from him and that we've checked it out with him. So we want to make sure that if you're unsure, there's nothing wrong with asking God to make sure that he can clarify things for you. He can help lead you in the right steps as we go along. And this verse clearly tells us that. So how has God pointed his will out to you in the past? Do you have a Bible verse that you're standing on? Maybe you want to go through the Bible and see what it is that God is telling you you need to do with this project. So we know that we can do these things and that we can also do this. We also want to make sure that we present this to the right people. Now, I'm not going to lay out my dreams and I'm not going to, ask people to take a look at what it is that I'm doing, especially if they're prone to shooting us down and whenever we've done this before. But what we do want to do is, if I can, I want to also make sure that I've got people praying for me. Hey, just ask them to pray to help you accomplish God's will. In fact, Paul does this for us in Colossians 1:9. Look at what it says. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Well, that's a complete package, isn't it? This prayer to the church in Colossae could have easily been prayed for you, and it was written 2,000 years ago. How good is the Holy Spirit in writing these prayers in the Bible that helps us to be able to understand more and more as we move along? If you had a complete understanding of God's will, would you be able to move forward with it? What about a partial understanding and you're trusting God to fill in the blanks as you start moving forward? Sometimes what we see throughout the Bible is that God tells us to take one step, and then once we're faithful in that one step, he'll tell us where to take that next step and then the following step. He doesn't give us the end result all the time, but if he knows that I'm seeking him and everything that I'm doing is to honor him and to glorify him, then I know that I'm going to be successful, and I know that this prayer can actually apply to myself. I can even take Colossians 1:9, turn it into a prayer for myself and say, Lord, please give me a complete knowledge of your will. Give me the spiritual wisdom and understanding to be able to understand what it is that you want me to do. So what I want to do is I want to take you through an exercise that helps us to be able to get our plans down on paper, helps us to understand these things, and really helps us to get things straight so that I can go before God, so that I can go before the people that I know that I have to make my presentation to. I'm not talking about a business plan, and I do encourage you to write one up. But the bottom line here is that what we want to do is we want to ask ourselves, first of all, what is our greatest why? Now, what I mean by that is that you're going to ask yourself why 7 times. And you're saying, Steve, what the heck are you talking about? Here's what I'm saying. You have got a plan to go out and to build an orphanage, right? So your plan is to build this orphanage, and you want to ask yourself, why? Well, because I want to help other people, right? So that's our second why. What's our third why? Well, the third why is that God has called me to do this. Okay, why has God called you to do this? That's your third why. So you'll continue to do these processes and take these steps as you move along. And then as you get down to the seventh point, you're going to find that you have an exact reason of why you want to do this. You may even have a great mission statement that you'll be able to add to your business plan. It'll make all the difference for you, and I encourage you to do that. The second thing that we want to do, once you've identified what your greatest why is, we want to find a scripture that confirms that it is, in fact, something that God would have you do. So you'll go through, open up a Bible, take a look at what it is. God will lead you through that. And in fact, we just learned that we could pray and ask God to show us as well. It's pretty easy for us to understand that if God gives you a scripture verse that parallels with this, that kind of gives you your job description, then maybe you can go to Isaiah 50:56 and say, wait a second, this is what true fasting is. It's to feed the poor. Maybe that's what God's called you to do. And you can go through and find these things. Once you've identified a scripture for that, you're going to be able to confirm that, yes, it's probably God's will for you to be able to do this thing. The third step that we want to do is we want to write out what our final product looks like. So we want to put out a word picture, and we can do this by clustering, or we can do this in a simple paragraph format. Maybe you want to write up your business proposal, and this is how you do it. But you got to take a look at what the final product looks like so you know what you're shooting for. Once you have that identified, I encourage you to take a look at it once a day for the next week. And as you do that, what's going to happen is that you're going to find that it's going to modify just a little bit. I don't want you to make it get easier, but what I want you to do is I want it to be more clear so that you understand what it is. You may want to start memorizing it so that people say, hey, what's your plan for today? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to build an orphanage, and it's going to be in this city. It's going to be one story big. It's going to be 40,000 square feet. It's going to have an industrial kitchen in it. The kids are going to be taken well care of. I mean, those are all the different processes that we want to understand, but we want to make sure that we get that down on paper. The last thing that we want to do today is we want to identify where you are in getting to where you're going. Are you still at the beginning stages? Are you halfway there? What have you already accomplished? And you want to make sure that you log these things down and celebrate them. Make sure that you're saying, hey, wait a second, I've already gotten started. I've already taken the step. I've already moved out. I've already sold all of the things that I own. I've already financed this. I've already written my business project. I've already contacted the people that I'm going to hire. I've already hired somebody. You may well be well on your way to succeeding in what it is that you believe you're called to do. But what I want you to do is to make sure that you get this down on paper so that you know exactly what you're doing. Colossians 1:10 tells us this: then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. These seven lessons are going to help us to understand that I can write down what it is that God wants me to do, and I can achieve that purpose. And we're going to take this logical step-by-step process in that. So if we pay attention to what we see and what this word of God in strategy really means to us, then what we can do is we can really go out and do something different with our own lives. And I encourage you to do that. Go out and be that miracle going someplace to happen. I want to thank you for joining us today, whether it's on Facebook or YouTube, or if you're watching us online, any one of the social media outlets. I really do encourage you that today we believed that we've gazed through the lens of our Christian faith, discovering a special word from God that's met your special needs. As we reflect on these principles today, let's remember that our ultimate example is Jesus Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve others. May his selfless love and sacrificial leadership inspire and guide us in our own leadership journeys. We want to encourage you and make sure that you're subscribing to these videos. Also, don't forget to share them. Hit the notification bell. If you're watching this on any one of the social media outlets, I encourage you, pass this on to others so that they can find inspiration as well through their path towards their servant leadership roles as well. Let's build this community of leaders dedicated to following the footsteps of our servant-hearted Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I wanted to thank you for being a part of this broadcast. Until our next episode, I encourage you to go forth in the spirit of servant leadership, guided by the love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessings to you on your journey and in every step that you take.